Back with Lloyd at Sharing the Burden on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. By the way, Stouffville, Sharing the Burden needs a group out here. We need a place for Stouffvilleites to come and share their burdens and know that they can go away knowing that whatever they say, who they see, and what goes on stays wherever that meeting is. And that's important to a lot of people. They really feel that there's not much they can say that's sacred in any way, shape, or form in this world, and there's not many places where they're going to be allowed to say whatever they want to say and be given the space without comment, without advice, you know. And I mean, that line sometimes gets crossed inside the 12-step groups, but generally people are totally observant and obedient to this little unwritten rule of no crosstalk. In other words, whatever someone's sharing, that's what someone needs to share. They don't need your advice, and if they want it, they can ask for it, but it'll be outside of our meetings. So, looking at step 8, and it says, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I'm going to read a little bit out of this life recovery workbook that the same fellows, David Stoop and Stephen Arterburn, put together to help us, you know, build a good relationship with a spiritual capacity and to also use a roadmap that's been proven to help millions over the years already. So it says, in our journey through the 12 steps of spiritual awakening forms the purpose of healing our relationships with self, others, and our God. To be free of addiction, we must be willing to go to any lengths to achieve this healing. Step 8 is crucial to living out this goal, even if we are threatened by the possibility of facing our most difficult relationships. We have been in the midst of transforming our thinking, behaviors, and attitudes. Our pride and false self have been punctured to reveal the new skin of a humble, teachable spirit. However, considering this step may activate our egos and defensiveness once more, just imagining having to make amends to some of the painful relationships of the past can activate fear of the possible humiliation in store when we contact these people. I want to hone in on humiliation a little bit. Here, Lloyd, last month, which, you know, in 7, we humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. That was the step we focused on in July. Yes. We talk about, you know, being humble and coming humbly to wherever we have to go to make that confession, or that request, rather, to have burdens of addiction, the burdens of compulsion, the burdens of whatever bothers us, whatever has control of us, to ask that they be removed. We come humbly, but humble or humility and humiliation come from the same root, and yet one, to society anyway in general, is totally distasteful, being humiliation. And the other, for the learned, for the wise anyway, is a very powerful positive, a very, very powerful asset, to be a humble person, you know, to, be somewhat quiet in the chaotic situations, to be, thinking and gentle and laid back in the midst of chaos and so on. And in the long run, this is a respected position, but humiliation, is looked upon as a very painful process, but we came to the determination last month that humiliation was something that was coming at me or at you from the outside. It was something someone else was saying or something I thought somebody was thinking or something along those lines, and it put me down anyway in my head and gave me a feeling of humiliation. Now, being humble or humility is something which has to come from my basic character, who I am. My soul area has to come from the inside of me or the inside of you. So humiliation is something coming at me. Things come at me all day long, you know, some good, some bad. I can't let those things ruin my life. So we came to the determination that maybe a real humble man or woman is someone who can hold that same stance of upright, yet quiet, gentle, and so on, when he or she is being humiliated. I think that's a real true test of what humility is.
Well, I've been humiliated. I think I humiliated myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I always say to myself, whenever I can't look in the mirror and recognize who that person is, then I would stop using. And, you know, one day I used to walk back and forth and I would never look in the mirror. And one time I did walk past and looked in the mirror, and I was, very humiliated at the person I was looking at. You know, very humiliated, and the person that was looking at me was unrecognizable. And I think that humility kind of helped me into making up my mind and deciding, hey, you know, I'm going to try and find myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was humiliated. Very much so.
By the mirror.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. We've been talking about mirrors, too, in the last little while. And the reality is, and I'm talking about a physical mirror, too, not a metaphorical kind of thing, but an actual physical mirror. How many of us really do what you did there? How many of us really look at the guy or gal in there as opposed to just doing our hair or mustache or shave or something along those lines, you know, to beautify us for the world outside. But, you know, when we really look at that guy, and I've been trying to do that more now rather than just a quick once over, you know, and it's not to congratulate my good looks or bad looks or anything like that, but it's so that, and I know this is true. When I look at myself in the mirror, I really think about myself. If I'm looking for other than, you know, beautification stuff. So, you know, so I see that guy in there and say, well, that guy's still struggling, you know. After all these years, he's still struggling. He's still, you know. And now, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to arrive, you know, not on this plane. I'm not going to arrive. I'm hopefully going to move into the next one and, you know, with, I was going to say luck, but it won't be luck. With any kind of purpose, I will, and that'll be a pain-free place. And I've got a lot of banked on that, you know, a lot of spiritual dough, spiritual cash is banked on, the next realm being one of, pain-free and health and youth. You know?
Well, I was humiliated in a way too, because I know that I wasn't born to be an addict. You know, my mom, she's a Pentecostal minister, even till today. She's still a Pentecostal minister in the church. So, you know, I knew that I was, my purpose wasn't to die in an alleyway to die, you know, with a crack pipe in my mouth. You know, there's something more for me. And I'm starting to grasp what's, you know, what my purpose is.
What is that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this program here this morning has kind of opened up my eyes as to, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, you know, giving back, you know, feels good.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, music to my soul, you know, and I mean that. You know, we do a lot of things for a long time and, you know, and hear something once in a while that, keeps us going. And that's the sort of thing, you know, you're touched at a soul level and you know this is, you know, it's well intended anyway, you know, and, we come here with great intention and, you know, and we're not coming here as a mistake, and like you said, you've never been on the radio before, and you told me that in the beginning. So, you know, I don't know about this, and you know, there's a magic about it once you can relax, and that takes a bit of time, and you know yourself, and even when you look at some of the video strips we've run here, you'll see a difference in yourself in an hour. And you know what? We tell people I do all the time, and you'll see in my different writings that I tell people all the time, we go into a jail and we look at a bunch of forlorn people, and an hour later, those guys are laughing and joking because they've learned somehow to be in the moment with us and to be outside of the last thing that happened and the next thing that's going to happen, because now is never that bad, you know. The moment's not a bad place to be, and it's the only place of total freedom. So, you know, if we're looking to, things to happen in the realm of what's going on with men and women and so on, or if we're looking back at our mistakes all the time, we're never going to be able to stay in this one wonderful, only place that's free, that's timeless, and unchanging, you know, almost like our scriptures and the way we believe in them, so. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And thank you again for all your positivity here. And God willing, and if you're interested in doing so, we'll have you on again real shortly.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah. If you got any final thoughts about what's going on here, and then we'll give Jay the air for a minute or two and let him talk about his radio program and what's going on there, and maybe give us a word on his own search, possibly, for even something as important as a kidney.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway.
I just think all the people that are out there that are reaching, reaching out and trying to find a new way to live. And, I just say to just hold on and don't give up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't give up.
Yeah. Hang on, yeah, at any, yeah.
You know, there might be distractions that might be thrown in your way, and hurdles.
Yeah.
But the important thing is to jump over the hurdles and step out what's more important. Which is life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Lloyd.
Oh, you're welcome.
Folks, we're going to turn it over to Jay here and let him do a bit of announcing. And as I say, anyone with an extra kidney out there, I think you got to find Jay and tell him your story, because at some point he may be looking for one. Hopefully not, but he may be, and I may be the only person on air to ask for it, but it's out there somewhere, and a good chance that we may need it. So, Jay, what do you got to say?
Another great show there, Scott, and yes, I've got a kidney from my sister about 18 years ago, and I was just at my kidney doctor a couple weeks ago. The visit that I had before, the prognosis wasn't so good, that they said I would need a kidney between about a year and 2 years, as it's been 18 years, and the wear and tear from the kidney has it's taken its toll. So right now they're keeping a closer eye on my kidney and my overall health, and what they want to do is, just kind of monitor things and see how things go. But they said, you should probably start talking to people about kidney donation, as, this kidney's come towards the end of its life cycle. So, now's the time to, talk about it, let people know that soon I'm going to be needing a kidney, and to, consider donating. There's St. Michael's Hospital down in Toronto is a very good hospital for this sort of thing. So feel free to, contact them, the kidney transplant clinic. They can talk you through the whole kidney donation process, the pros and cons and that sort of thing. But, for now, I'm very healthy. I'm feeling good, despite what the numbers say. I get tired and stuff like that from time to time, but I'm still able to do my radio show here, dance music show on Saturday night block party, Saturday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So it's great to, be healthy to do these things. I was, with some friends on the weekend dancing and partying and stuff like that. So it's great to, be healthy enough to do these things. And but soon my health is going to be more of a concern as we get closer. So if you're able to help in any way, please, let me know. Give me a call here at the station, 905-640-1027, or contact St. Michael's Hospital and let them know that you'd like to donate a kidney. And thanks again for tuning in to Sharing the Burden here on Whistle FM.
Thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.